Test, test, 1, 2.
The car.
Okay, now you gotta talk to me for a minute.
Okay, this is Scott McCoy of the Young Fresh Fellows speaking to you.
Okay, you're gonna speak up.
Louder than that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Okay,
good. Pretty good?
That's great.
Okay.
Wonderful.
I have a couple people coming over, so, you know, I might be interrupted a few times, but I'll just tell them to come in and sit down.
Okay. Yeah, the way I'm going to be doing this is I'm going to take it back into the studio and edit out all the in-between parts.
Okay.
Fast. So, okay, well, let's start by the fact that I'm quite in the dark. I've managed to do a little bit of research, and I've traced you through the dinette set.
Other than that,
we don't know much about the band. Why don't you give us a little bit about your musical background?
Chuck and I, he's the lead guitar player. We've played together for a real long time. We were in bands together in California, you know, pretty much from high school on. We were in the group called Hannibal's Chorus Boys, and we did all, like, 60 songs, Gloria, Satisfaction, all the standard stuff in about 1971 or 72, and everybody thought we were really stupid and didn't like us at all. But it was fun. And then we played in various other groups, and we moved up here, and we started being the Young Fresh Fellows and recording in our basement, basically. So it started with us, and then Chuck's cousin, Tad, is from Iowa, and he came out to be our drummer, and he'd been in a couple bands that put out records. The first was called The Law, and they're from Des Moines, Iowa, and they put out a 4-song EP called King Size Cigarette, which is really cool, if you ever see it. And then he went to school in Colorado and was in this group called Fun at the Zoo that put out an EP that's also pretty great. And one of the other members of that band is Jim Joe Sangster, who is now our bass player. So that's where we all come from musically as far as that goes. And I was in the dinette set for 2.5 years, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, tell us a little bit the dinette set. It's certainly, the few times I was down in Seattle, it wasn't hard to catch at a club.
We played really a lot, like all the time, which I think led to our eventual downfall. But, you know, we made a pretty good money, so it was, we just sort of got in the rut of playing nearly every week because we'd come to be accustomed to having that money, and yet we played so much that we didn't really have time to work on material as much as I think we should have, you see.
So then the Young Fresh Fellows.
That's right.
And how long was it between your inception in the Seattle area and the Fabulous Sounds of the Pacific Northwest?
Well, actually, the album came out really before we even started playing, or we're a band, pretty much. I mean, we recorded, Chuck and I had all these songs that we played for a long time, and we'd done little demo recordings and 4-tracks and sent cassettes to our friends and all that. And then we decided that we needed to vinylize the subject, and so Tad came out, and we rehearsed with him for about 2 hours, and then we went into Conrad Uno's studio and just recorded all the basics in one weekend. So it was real, just kind of a let's have fun, and, you know, just it was real garage, not very rehearsed recording. But then, of course, we put a lot of hours into, you know, doing the vocals and various things on top of it. But by the time the album was finished, we'd never played. We weren't even a band, really. I mean, because I was playing bass and guitar on the record, and then we got Jim to play bass, and then we started being ready to play live, and by this time the record was out, and people wanted us to play, and it was really great.
Well, the album certainly doesn't give the impression of just quick garage sound. Conceptually, it's one of the best albums to come out of the Northwest recently.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, it's just such a fun album.
Uh-huh.
The cover is great, through and through. And the extra sound effects on it are just a DJ's delight, quite frankly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they've become a DJ's delight down here. Like KJET, which is the big AM modern rock station, has lifted some of the intros, you know, the narration, and uses them in between their songs, you know, on the radio, which kind of bummed me out the first couple times I heard it, because I'd hear, you know, oh, been thinking about a vacation trip to the Pacific Northwest, and I think they were going to play one of our songs, and then they put on, you know, Duran Duran or something following it, and I was like, oh, geez. But I couldn't get really too mad, since we sort of stole the narration. I couldn't really get mad at them for stealing it from us.
Well, where did the concept for the album as a package come from?
Well, it came from a record that came out, I suppose, in the early 60s. I don't know when it came out, but it was something put out by the phone company down here, believe it or not, which is really weird. And it was a record that was to promote tourism in the Northwest. And that's where Chuck and I found one of these records, Chuck found it in a Salvation Army or something, and he said, listen to this, this is really funny. And, you know, we went, yeah, this is great. And we should use this, you know, to tie all our songs together and to send out, like, as a message to all our friends, because our friends live in, you know, we're from California, and we have friends in New York and everything, and we had just sort of moved up here, and we thought, well, we'll send this message to all our friends of the fabulous sounds of the Pacific Northwest, and that's where it came from. And we really liked the concept a lot, so when we finally got around to making a record, we thought we should use it.
Well, who came up with the artwork and the cover?
Well, actually, most of it is from that record we found. The layout is basically the same, but we changed all the pictures, and then we did the thing on the back where, you know, other fine albums on Pop Llama, and we did all that stuff. But most of it is, you know, lifted directly from this tourist record, so we can't take too much credit for it, except for discovering it, I guess.
Well, it's great as a complete package.
That's it.
A lot of fun.
It's a concept, you know.
Yeah.
We almost, you know, we had a little problem going with it, because people were saying, well, they're going to think it's a sampler, and they won't think it's, you know, by one group, and they won't know what to think of it, and we didn't care. We thought it was great, so we figured, go with it.
Well, ironically, that kind of folksy, touristy image of the Pacific Northwest comes in the, you know, in all the extras in the album, but your songs pretty well about the urban malaise.
Yeah, that's true. They don't have a whole lot to do with life in the great forest or whatever. They're definitely, most of them were written, a lot of the songs are actually, you know, have been around for 3 or 4 years. Some of them are newer, but, you know, like I said, a lot of them are ones that Chuck and I have been playing for a long time, and we sort of picked the songs that we still liked after a while that we wanted to put out. And, you know, they don't really have anything to do with the concept, but that doesn't really matter.
Well, if anything, they set each other up.
Yeah.
Well, the Dinette Set, we know about them a little bit, and certainly the Fastbacks have enjoyed some bit of success in the Seattle area. How is
probably more. I think they've enjoyed more success in Vancouver than they have down here.
Well, that's interesting to hear.
It's really, you know, they really have trouble even playing any shows down here. It's really pretty screwy. I don't know. We're gonna try to set up some kind of all-age show with them, but it's like, to do that, you have to rent out a hall and, you know, put up all this money up front and hope that it doesn't get trashed. And, you know, I guess it's worth it, but it's not easy. There's no place that, like, bands like the Fastbacks can just go and play, because people in bars don't really want to see them that much, because they play mostly originals or something. I don't know what.
So how is the underground scene there in general? Is there a lack of venues?
Yeah. There's a new place that's all ages that's really pretty good if it flies, but it's way out in the middle of nowhere. It's called the Top of the Court. And it's above this real redneck bar called the Back Court that's out, like, by the docks south of Ballard. I mean, it's, you know, nobody goes there. But people are so starved for all-ages shows that we played there about a month ago, and it was great. I mean, it was just packed with, you know, 14-year-old kids, and it was really cool. I mean, and so if that can keep going, it'll be great. But there's just no place for bands to play to, you know, all-age audiences, and the bars, you know. Some of the bars are pretty good. The Rainbow's good, and the Hall of Fame's pretty good. But in general, I'd say it's pretty lame.
Well, you've been up here once before, I think that's right, as the Young Fresh Fellows.
Yeah, we played a lot as the Dinette Set, but only once as the Fellows.
And I recall that gig was a fairly small crowd.
The first night was the night the Violent Femmes played about 2 months ago, and then the next night was actually pretty good. A fair amount of people came, and it was at the Savoy, which I thought was a great place to play. I really liked it, and it seemed like the people there liked us a lot. We felt it was a really successful trip, even though the first night there was hardly anybody there. We had a great time playing, and the band that played with us was Rude Norton, and they were total geniuses, and the whole trip was worthwhile just to see them, I thought.
Well, I think you'll find a fairly receptive crowd this time.
Uh-huh.
How do you find Vancouver music is accepted in Seattle?
Well, some bands seem to do pretty well. I mean, I don't know. I think there's been some great groups from up there. I was a really big fan of the Modernettes. I liked them a lot, and I guess there's not much going on with them anymore. But people look for their records down here. They're pretty hard to find. But I don't know. It doesn't seem that many bands from up there really play down here a lot. Maybe it's too hard to get a guarantee from the clubs. Like, I thought it was really great when we played up there, because we'd never been there before, the fellows. And, the Savoy gave us a good guarantee that at least we knew we weren't going to lose money by coming up there to play. And I don't know if that's true for a lot of Vancouver bands coming down here.
Mm, yeah, there is a fairly strong alternative club scene here that seems to keep a lot of bands going.
Yeah,
well,
I really enjoyed it. Like, when the Dinette Set always did really great up there, and we had, we just had a blast every time we went up there. It was really, really fun. We played usually at the Railway Club, but we played at the West End Community Center once, and it was great, And I'm really glad that we're coming up on Saturday, because there's something really fun about going up to play there. Usually, it seems like, for some reason, it seems like people are more open to different kinds of music or something. I don't know. It's great.
That's encouraging to hear, especially from our point of view.
Yeah, because you probably don't think that, right? You probably think the grass is greener here, right?
Actually, not so much. We enjoy our local music scene.
Good.
And we're in a position to be able to explore it. We talked a little bit about the Modernettes. Can you give me an idea, the old word roots, what bands locally and otherwise do you listen to or do you feel influence you?
I think his name is Mike Dennis. He works at your station up there.
Right.
He wrote a review of our album, and, he definitely picked up on the Kinks influence, and I think that was, like, a great compliment, and it was probably the greatest thing I've ever read. He, compared our songwriting to Ray Davies, and, that was really cool. I mean, the Kinks are definitely a big influence for us, and, I have to go with also, like, Mott the Hoople and The Who, and just in general, 60s British bands, but also, I think we're into a lot of American music, too. Chuck and I are huge Neil Young fans, and I know that if it doesn't sound like it on a record, I know it's in there somewhere, because we've played Neil Young songs for 10 or 15 years. And as far as local bands, I don't know, my favorites, I don't know if they influence us, but my favorites around here are like Red Dress and the Luster Kings is a new band that's sort of rockabilly that are really great. And I think they'll be coming up to Vancouver soon. And, I don't know. Actually, there's not a whole lot of groups down here I really like. Well, Fastbacks are phenomenal. I love them. But a lot of the best groups don't get to play. The U-Men are really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've played up there, but they've got a really good record out.
Yeah, we have a demo up here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And so, I don't know. I work in a record store, so I listen to all kinds of music. I mean, I'm constantly subjected to it, and I don't really know how it comes out in our music sometimes. I have to hear other people say, like when Mike said he heard the Kinks, I thought, well, yeah, that's great. That makes sense. But, I mean, when you hear, like, a band like the Modernettes, I mean, their influences seem pretty obvious. They're into Velvet Underground, Johnny Thunders, and you could also hear, like, the Birds and stuff like that, which is really cool. I like bands that pick up on a lot of different kind of stuff and put it into their own sound.
So what are you going to do to follow up the fabulous sounds of the Pacific Northwest?
Well, we've been in the studio recording the last month or so, back in Egg Studios, Conrad Uno's garage, and we've got basics down for about 9 new songs, and the project was to put out a single, but we've recorded so much stuff that we might just make another album or something. I don't know. We've got a lot, and we were going to put out a single, like I said, but we pretty much run out of the first 1,000 of the Fab sound, so we decided we're going to press another 1,000 of those. So that sort of puts off putting out something new for a while, because that's all our money, of course. So we may just shoot for 3 or 4 months down the road coming out with a new album if we can afford it, because we've got the material and we're laying down the tracks, as they say.
Do you think you'll play around with the concept again for an album package?
I don't know. It's possible. We had another idea for the first one that we decided to go against because we went with the Fabulous Sounds, but we have another pretty good concept idea, sort of based on another 60s album, and I don't know if we'll do it or not. It would be a thing where we might get into legal problems, but we didn't let that stop us with this one, so I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to, give anything away too soon. The Power Mowers might make a surprise appearance.
Okay, we're certainly looking forward to the concert. You'll be in with 2 Vancouver bands, Swagman and a band that's riding a lot of hype and a lot of popularity, a band called Poisoned.
Oh, yeah.
With the infamous Art Bergman.
Uh-huh. We're really fired up to hear the Twang Hounds. We just figured by their name and what we've heard about them that they've got to be great. I'm curious to see Poison, too, but the Twang Hounds are playing, right?
Yeah, they're open. Sorry, I got it wrong before. Yeah, the Twang Hounds should be opening.
Have you seen them?
No, quite frankly, I haven't. We've got a couple of demos here, though, that are riding the airwaves quite well.
All right. That's great. I think it's really cool how many demos you guys play. Like, you played that, the Sharing Patrol wasn't actually a demo, but I saw that was on the playlist, and I thought that was really great that you were playing that. Because they're a really good band from around here, too.
Yeah, we like to keep it going with demos.
Yeah, it's great. Maybe we'll slide you some advances of this new stuff we're doing.